Now tonight we're going to talk about balance in the Christian life. And you should have been giving a wheel illustration along with your other materials tonight. Here we have a wheel with a hub, four spokes, and an outer rim. And with this illustration tonight, we're going to endeavor to show you how to abide in Christ, or how to have a vital union and have a life that, with real meaning and purpose. And I want you right now, if you will, to open your Bibles to John 15, verse 5. Bring your Bibles, and we'll be using them each week in our classes. John 15, verse 5. Let's read this passage together. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing. Read that last phrase together with me. For without me, ye can do nothing. The abiding life in Christ, the life that really counts, the life with purpose. I have found that you can be a Christian and still not have a real life that's alive to Jesus Christ. I know in my own life, I received Christ when I was 16, but for 8 long years, my life was empty. It was absolutely void of purpose. It was almost just a secular existence without any real knowledge of the Spirit working at all in my life. Day after day, week after week, and month after month, for 8 long years. I was faithful in church. I wouldn't miss a Sunday. My older brother started me to Sunday school when I was just a boy of 4 or 5, and I had a Christian mother, and I wanted to please her, and so I was in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. But that still didn't give me the real life and purpose that I needed. It took something that touched my heart, and I hope that this illustration that we share with you tonight will have a real meaning and purpose in your life, and will show you how to have a life that abides in Christ, a life with a vital union, a life that produces for Jesus Christ. Right now, if you will, I want you to write on the outer circle of your wheel, the Christian living the life. The Christian living the life. Just write this on the outside rim of your wheel. The Christian living the life. The Christ-centered life. The life that glorifies God. Now take the hub and the spokes out of this wheel. What do you have? You have an empty rim, an empty wheel. A wheel that could hold no load or serve any real purpose. You take Jesus Christ out of the center of your life, and you have a life that's empty, void of purpose. And so right now, if you will, I want you to write the word Christ right in that circle, in the hub of your wheel. Just put Christ right in the hub. And then if you like, you can put just on the outside of the hub, I-A-N in small letters, to complete the word Christian, I-A-N, I am nothing. Jesus Christ is everything, and he needs to be right in the center of our life if our life is going to have meaning and purpose. Now for each part of the wheel, I want you to take some notes. If you have some room on the illustration page, they're fine, but otherwise turn to some of your notepaper, because we're going to have notes on each part of the wheel, the hub, and the four spokes. Down in your notes, then, I want you to write the word hub, H-U-B, hub. And one scripture that you can put there is John 15, 5, the one that we have just read. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. I want you to put another scripture down, Philippians 1, 21. If you want to abbreviate to save some time, just P-H-I-L, Philippians 1, verse 21. If you know it, say it with me. I'm sure that most of you know it. Say it with me. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ gives us a real purpose for living. Every time we set foot into the day, every new day, the Christian, the real Christian, has a purpose for living, to live for Christ, to be a better typist, a better truck driver, a better teacher, a better father, a better mother, a better student. Every day you set foot into the day, you ought to be a better individual for Jesus Christ. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. With each of these parts of the wheel, I'm going to give you an alliteration on P. And so for our first P, with a hub, write the word purpose. Purpose. Jesus Christ, in the center of our life, gives us purpose for life. And this purpose is to live for Christ day by day by day. To make Him the Lord of our life. To put Him first in our life. I believe that the beginning of any life that's going to be meaningful and purposeful is a life that makes Jesus Christ the complete Lord. I believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He must be the Lord of our life if our life is going to have any meaning or purpose. In fact, in Matthew 4:19, if you'll jot this down, Matthew 4:19, we read, Jesus said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Follow Christ as the Lord of your life. You have received Him as Savior, I trust. Now follow Him as your Lord. If He's your Savior, He needs to be and ought to be your Lord too. Follow Him daily, and He will make your life purposeful. He said, I will make you fishers of men. And so, the life that abides in Christ, the life of with vital union, is a life that claims Jesus Christ as Lord. Christ is right in the center of everything that you do. Now our first spoke is the foundational spoke. And if you just take this spoke from the hub down to the lower rim and write these words, W-O-R-D. I mean, write this word, W-O-R-D. It's the spoke of the Word. The spoke of the Word. The Word, the Scriptures, are the foundational aspect of the Christian life. Just as it's the foundational aspect of this wheel illustration, so the Scriptures are foundational in the believer's life. 2 Timothy 3:15 to 17. 2 Timothy 3 Verses 15 to 17. Paul writing to Timothy, from a child, he said, thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. God has given us the Scripture to bring us to Jesus Christ, and then day by day as He speaks to us, to help us grow to maturity and to the place where we're equipped to do good works, to serve Him. And so the Bible, the Scriptures, are foundational to the Christian life. For our alliteration on P, I want you to put the word provision. Provision. I like to think of the Scriptures as providing day by day food for the inner man. Food for the inner man. Matthew tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. The Scriptures are food for the inner man, for our sustenance. They're light for the daily path. The entrance of thy word giveth light, it giveth understanding unto the simple. Psalm 119, verse 130. The Scriptures provide light for our daily walk. And then their strength for our daily task. Strength for our daily task. The psalmist said in Psalm 119, verse 28, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." And so the scriptures are the provisional aspect of our daily life. They are necessary to our overflow. The intake spoke, the word spoke, is necessary to overflow. And if we're going to have an overflowing life, we need to have a life that's taking in day by day. And so God provides the intake through his word that we might in turn, through spending time with him in the word, have an overflowing life to others. Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me. Meet me daily through the word. Where did you read today? Have you spent time today with the Lord Jesus Christ in his word? We're not going to say any more about this now, but next week our whole lesson is going to be on how to know and how to use the word of God. On the devotional life. How to have a devotional life. And I hope you'll be here for this next week. And so, Christ in the center of the life, and this first spoke rooted in the hub, abiding in the hub, continuing tied into the hub, is the word of God. And because we do make him the Lord of our life and we love him, we want to daily spend time with him in the scriptures. Now if you go up to the very next spoke, which would be to your right, horizontally, raise your right arm. Right arm straight out to your side. Horizontally, I want you to put into this next spoke, the spoke of obedience. We'll take the next spoke to the right next. Obedience. Right, if you will, between the lines, the word obedience. The spoke of obedience. Personally, I believe that this is the spoke that gives you your character, your dynamic. This is the spoke that makes you different because you're obedient to Jesus Christ. You're different to people in the world because you're living according to what the Scripture teaches. For your Scripture verse, John 14, 21. John 14, verse 21. "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and I will manifest," or "I will reveal myself unto him." We love God, we show him our love by obedience. And the more we love him according to this passage, the more Jesus Christ reveals himself to us. He says, "Follow me, obey me, and I will make your life like my very own. I will reveal myself to you day by day." Now, I believe that you can read your Bible every day. I believe you can pray every day. I believe you can give to the church and even serve without really demonstrating the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Jesus tells us in Luke 6:46, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the thing which I say?" It's in the area of submission, the area of submission, where we have our real encounter with God day by day. That's why it's possible to live a secular existence without having the Word of God play a part in our life, because it's in the area of submission where we do have our real encounter with God. It's not my will, but thine be done. I might like to do this thing or that thing, but God says, "This is the way. Walk ye in it. This is my will for your life." And so, it's in this area where we really get to know God, where we're tested. I would like you, if you will, to open your Bibles to Genesis 2. And let's look at the test that Adam and Eve were faced with right in the beginning. Genesis 2. That's it, open to Genesis 2. Verse 16. "And the Lord commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil Thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Verse 17. Thou shalt not. God said you can have fruit from every tree in the garden, but this one tree, don't eat of it. Looking now over in chapter 3, verse 4. Chapter 3, verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. The evil one immediately went to work on the lady, causing her to doubt the authority and the finality of God's word. And this is what he does to us today. Oh, it's not really too bad to do this or that or the other thing. After all, everyone's doing it. It can't be that bad. But what does God say about it? That's the important thing. Thou shalt not eat of it. Ye shall not surely die. Genesis 3:6, we read, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise. And she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And as a result of this, the world was plunged into sin. Genesis 3:15, let's look at this one together. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. From that moment to this, there's been a warfare in the world, and we are engaged in it day by day. Right against wrong, righteousness against unrighteousness, light against darkness, and darkness against light. And friends, we're right in the middle of that battle this very day. I don't know about you, but I'm conscious of the warfare. And it seems that the more I grow in Jesus Christ, the more I become conscious. The devil wants to stop me right in my tracks. As long as I'm not doing anything for Christ, I'm no trouble or problem to him. But let me begin to grow in the Lord. Let me begin to read the Word. Let me begin to pray. Let me begin to witness. And the first thing I know, temptation and problems come into my life. He would like to sidetrack me. 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. And so Satan today is stalking each one of us, endeavoring to trip us up. I don't know about you, but I find that it doesn't get any easier to live for Christ. I can remember several years ago in college, I was sitting in a classroom with a friend of mine, right at the beginning of the class, taking a pop quiz, right at the beginning. Dr. McMillan had a habit of giving us these pop quizzes, and this was a class in physiology. And he asked us to trace the heartbeat, the beat of the heart. And I had everything down pretty well, but I felt something was just a little out of place. And so I looked over on my neighbor's paper, and I saw where he had AV node, and I had RV node, and I knew that it was AV after looking on his paper, so I just erased my R and put an A down. Now, what's wrong with just copying a letter? I mean, I didn't rob any bank or hurt anyone, but in God's sight, it was just as bad because I was disobedient. I handed my paper in. And I'll tell you this, I couldn't hear a thing that Dr. McMillan was lecturing on that day. My heart was beating like a trip hammer. And this scripture came to me, 2 Corinthians 4:2. But we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Was I manifesting the truth? Was I really denouncing the hidden things of dishonesty? No, I wasn't, and I knew it. I knew I had one thing to do after that class, and that was to go up and tell Dr. McMillan that I had cheated. Well, my friend stayed long enough to see that I went up there, and he said, Charlie, he said, I saw what you did, and he said, that really hurt me, and I'm glad that you went up and took care of it. Well, that was several years ago. I find that today, I'm just as tempted to be deceitful. Not long ago, I was sitting in the office with one of our team and making some plans, and we were planning our schedule, and I had planned to be away for a week to pick up my family to bring them to the city. And my associate was to be in the office while I was away. Then an opportunity came for me to be away 3 days earlier. So I went in and talked to the supervisor, and I said, I've got this opportunity of being away for 3 days, and I wonder, you know, if it would make a difference. And he said, well, there'll be someone in your place here. And I sort of nodded, yes, in a moment there of deception. I let him believe that there would be someone there. Well, I went back to my office and just before lunch, and I had no appetite. I knew that I had been deceitful. The scripture says, he that worketh deceit shall not dwell within my house. He that telleth lies shall not tarry in my sight. And I knew that I had to go back and tell him. So after lunch, I went back and knocked on his door and went in and told him the story that there wasn't someone in my place. There wouldn't be those 3 days. And he said, Charlie, I knew that. That hurt me. I wondered, would he ever be able to trust me again? And so we are daily in the battle facing tests, and God tests us severely. The important thing is, are we obeying him? Are we willing to obey him? These days when it's popular to compromise, to get ahead in business, maybe we'll take shortcuts and do things that are dishonest to get ahead in business. God tells us, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I know that with this new morality, many times we conform to be popular and to be acceptable. Maybe you'll give in to things that we hadn't ought to get ahead. Well, the Bible tells us to keep thyself pure. Not long ago, I read in Time magazine where a virgin is no more a girl who is pure, but one who hasn't known more than one person. Well, whose standard is this? This is man's standard. God tells us, keep thyself pure. Flee youthful lust. Flee fornication. And may God help us, each of us, men and women, boys and girls, young people, to be pure for Jesus' sake, to dare to be like Daniel. You remember the song we used to sing, dare to be like Daniel, dare to stand alone, dare to have a purpose true, dare to make it known. Daniel was willing to stand on principle. Daniel 1, verse 8. We need to go out into our schools today, into the office, into our homes, and dare to be a Daniel, dare to be different for Jesus' sake. And so I believe that this spoke of obedience is the spoke that gives us our real dynamic. It gives us our character day by day. And if you'd like the word or the alliteration on P, I would like you to put down the word power, P-O-W-E-R, power, because this is what gives our life power, our obedience. Just before we go to this next book, just let me ask you this. Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24 states, you listen carefully, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Tonight, could you stand this test? What about your family life? Any sin that separates you from God? What about your school life, your business life, your social life? Sin is a short circuit to power. And any unconfessed sin breaks fellowship with Jesus Christ. Now, let's take another spoke. And this is the spoke that reaches up heavenward. And if you will, write in the word prayer and the spoke that reaches up vertically from your hub to the upper rim, the spoke of prayer. I believe that this is the spoke that gives reality to the Christian life. We meet God in prayer. He answers our prayer. Our faith grows. He becomes more real to us day by day. I also believe that this is the spoke of peace. We're doing an alliteration on the letter P, the spoke of peace. T-E-A-C-E. Let's take a few scriptures here. Matthew 7, verse 7. For resource for our daily walk. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. A wonderful promise from God. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. And then another scripture, Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Hebrews 4, 15 and 16. Mercy and peace, promise from God. For we have not an high priest which cannot be tempted with the feeling of our infirmities, but he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have a good friend in the States who has a little message that he calls the Apostle Paul's three girlfriends. He calls them Gracie, Mercy, and Peacey. Grace, he says, is getting something that we don't deserve from God day by day. Mercy is not getting something we do deserve. And peace is a result of both of these. Open, if you will, to Psalm 32. Psalm 32. And let us read the first five verses here on the subject. Psalm 32. Here we have one of the penitential prayers. David had sinned grievously unto God. You'll find a record of this in 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12. He had sinned grievously against God. And here we have a wonderful passage dealing with God's mercy and forgiveness. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. David said, when I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer. Selah. Pause and meditate. Then verse 5, and I like this passage, and I've used it many times myself and shared it with others. David said, I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. Notice the order here. David said, I acknowledged my sin unto thee. Quite often I think we just have sort of a prayer that we use as a blanket prayer of seeking forgiveness. Lord, forgive us for all of our sins. God wants us to name the sin. I cheated. I lied. I was unkind. I was immoral. I was unfaithful. Name it before God. I acknowledge my sin unto thee. Verse 5. And mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of our sin, my sin. We confess our sin faithfully, sincerely, God forgives us. And if you have any sin in your heart tonight that has not been confessed, then it's unforgiven sin, and unforgiven sin breaks fellowship. We can't know this vital union with Jesus Christ that we started talking about at the beginning of this class. Now, one other scripture on this prayer spoke, and then we're just going to mention the last spoke, and we'll close for the night. One other scripture, and I want you to turn to it, if you will. 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9. This is a verse that we'll be memorizing a little bit later in the course, and I think that you will find that it's a verse that you can use regularly in your own life and share it with others who are having similar difficulties to your own. Read it with me, if you will. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I remember after this class one time, A young fellow came up to me and he said, Mr. Riggs, he said, I don't deserve to be a counselor. I said, why not? Tell me about it. He said, well, he said, I've got an application in at the bank. And he said, on this application, I've lied twice. And I said, well, of course, this isn't right, but you know God will forgive you if you ask him, don't you? And he said, yes. I said, you want God to forgive you right now? And he said, yes, I do. I said, all right, let's pray right now and ask him. Here we find, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we bowed, and he asked God to forgive him. And I said, now that's only part of it. This takes care of the vertical relationship. You've asked God to forgive you. Now what else do you need to do? He said, well, I need to go back to the bank. He said, yes, that's right. And so he went back to the bank, and I saw him later on, and not only did he get the job, but he became a counselor and a good one. We became good friends. Now, this lad was just being honest. Many of us are not willing to be honest in our daily life, but he was. All of us, from time to time, fall into sin. We fail God, and we need to know the promise of his cleansing and forgiveness. This prayer spoke, one of the aspects of it is the abiding aspect of keeping in close touch with God day by day. So we have one more spoke to go. And without this, our wheel would be flat. We couldn't go very far with it. And so, if you will, write in the word witnessing in the last spoke. Witnessing. That's right. And to complete our alliteration on P, I would like you to put the word production. Production. That's right, production. This is the overflow spoke. Through the Word of God, there's an intake, the provision for our intake. And so here, as we live an obedient life and we abide with Jesus Christ through prayer, Jesus Christ being in the center of our life, we grow in the knowledge of the Word of God, our life becomes attractive for Him, we abide in Him through prayer, and our life then becomes a natural overflow to others. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. And so witnessing gradually becomes the natural overflow of the life that's abiding in Jesus Christ. We're not going to talk any more about witnessing tonight. Our fourth class will be talking about witnessing and how to share Jesus Christ with others. However, I will give you these two verses in closing, 1 Peter 3:15. 1 Peter 3:15. But sanctify the Lord God in thine heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason of the hope that is in me with meekness and fear. Sanctify your heart, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. And then let's once more put down Matthew 4:19. Matthew 4:19. Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. In other words, follow me. Make me the Lord of your life. Follow me. Spend time daily. Meet me in my word. Follow me, obey me, and I will reveal myself to you and give you a life like my very own. Follow me. Spend time in prayer, showing your absolute dependence upon me for guidance and strength. And I will make you fishers of men. I will make your life a life that overflows to others. May God bless you now as you go to do your lesson for this next week and share these things that you're learning. Share this wheel with someone else.